Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
All right. How many of you have never heard Mike or Patty Atkins before? Raise your hands. Quite a few. You're in for a treat. Boy, you're in the right place at the right time. How did that happen? That's amazing. We've been blessed every time we've gone to Living Waters for the past 15 years, I guess, something like that. We've heard Mike and met Patty and just been around them and admired them from afar and been blessed every single time. Had a right now word. I swear it was just for me. And I'd go sometimes to the retreat with not the best attitude and get there and God would adjust my attitude through the word. And we are just delighted to have them. I don't want to give a long introduction. I want you to have all the time you want. You just speak until the well's done. Until you're, hey, well, hello there. Hi, good morning. Hey, welcome to Walmart. Hi, hey, how you doing? Okay, they're going to kids' church. I should have said that. But I want to give you all the time you need, my brother. So let's pray. Father, we are expecting you to speak through Mike to us, and we're ready to receive in Jesus' name. Let's make Mike and Patty welcome today. Amen. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Okay, I'm going to go up here and just get a music stand so I can stand down on the floor. Is that okay with you all? I'll go up here and get it. You know, I'm a pastor. I know how to do this stuff. I'm used to it.
I'll get this one.
Amen.
He's going
to
get a different one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to get a different one.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, yeah. That'd be much better.
You know, I was praying about what to share with you all, and oh, my goodness, look at that. Man. That's called service right there. I just want to be down here where I can see the whites of your eyes. Is that okay? I'm always honored. I can't tell you how honored I am to be here. And whenever somebody offers me an opportunity to speak in their congregation, I cherish that. I treasure it. And I take the Word of God very seriously in my life. And I just have to really, my wife can tell you, I really have to stay in the presence of the Lord until I can hear from the Lord, because I don't want to waste your time. I want you to hear from the Lord today, and I want you to hear something that comes from His heart and not just from my archives of 40 years of being in the ministry. Amen? And so this week, as I was just praying and seeking the Lord and getting ready to share with you today, I kept coming back to something that's been really kind of a revelation for me personally. It's happened for me within the past, about the past month, I'll say, that the Lord started speaking to me about this. And I believe that there's something the Lord really wants to say to you. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me real quickly to Numbers chapter 13. That's where I'm going to start. I'm not going to read a lot of scripture, several verses of scripture. But the Lord really began to speak to me a few weeks ago about a concern that I could see as a pastor. I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and during that time, I've seen just about everything you can see. I've started a church with six people in a living room. I've pastored a 1,500-member congregation. I was on staff of a 10,000-member congregation. I've seen about everything you can see in the church and been through about everything you can be through in the church. I've seen a lot of things that have happened, and I've walked with Christ for those 40 years. And Patty and I have been married 37 years this year, and you know, we've been in ministry, so we know what ministry is, and we know what it is to follow the Lord. I've served the Lord all over the world, traveled, spoken, planted churches, done ministry, about every kind of ministry you can imagine. But I found myself just a couple of weeks ago with a concern. And the concern I had is that I started seeing and recognizing that in a lot of people's hearts, I see that they are struggling with a perplexity, a problem of perplexity, where they're struggling in their mind and their heart to try and understand some things that have happened in their lives. And they're trying to understand why certain things have occurred. And they're looking at the promises of God, and they're looking at what God has said he's going to do in their life, and then they're looking at their life, and they're saying there's a disconnect, there's an incongruence here between the promises of God in my life and what I'm seeing actually taking place in my life at this season or at this time. And as a result, it creates a bit of confusion, a bit of perplexity in their mind. And what that does is it doesn't really affect, in the long run, it doesn't really affect your theology. It doesn't really affect your honest relationship with God. But sometimes our relationship with God can start to become a little distant. There's an obligatory dimension to it. We know that God loves us and Christ died for us, and so we need to be in relationship with him. But when you're living in a state of perplexity and you're living in a state of uncertainty and you're living in a state where you're not really clear as to why things are happening the way they've happened or why things have unfolded the way they've unfolded, it can begin to cause your trust in the Lord to erode just a little bit, just enough to keep you a little bit at arm's distance, where you're still involved, you're still engaged, you're still showing up, you're still singing the songs, but there's a perplexity in your mind, a perplexity in your mind. I'm speaking by the Spirit today. That there are some of you that are in this place today, that perplexity that's in your mind has caused your heart to get just a little distant from the Lord. And though you sing the songs and you raise your hands and you read the Bible and you participate in the studies and you have a relationship with the Lord unshakable, yet there is in your heart just a little bit of distance between you and God. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the Lord wants to reveal something to you, and that if you'll really listen for just a few minutes, I'd rather talk short and go deep than talk long and stay shallow. Is I want you to listen deeply with me for just a moment this morning, because I might introduce a thought to you today that could change the paradigm of how you view what's going on in your life and what's going on in your life. And I want us to look here at Numbers chapter 13, and I want to put this in context. Moses has brought Israel out of Egypt. They've come across the Red Sea. They've now crossed the wilderness, and they've come to the banks of the River Jordan. And God is saying, now here's the promises that I've given you. And the Bible says that just before they were to go in, that a group of men were sent over, spies, and they were sent over to look at the land and to spy out the land and see what the land was like. And you know the story. They went over and they spied out the land. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 13, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. And they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, and they're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants of the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. And so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. You know, the people came to the land of promise, and to me there's such a powerful picture of our Christian walk, where we come out of Egypt and slavery to sin and self and Satan. We cross the Red Sea, which is a picture of the finished work of Christ. We come then into the wilderness. And the wilderness has its droll in our life. It has its place in our life. There's something God wants to do for us in the wilderness. But then we came to the banks of the Jordan River, and there we were to cross over into the promises of God. And so Israel came out, And the Lord brought him out to bring him in. He brought him out and he brought him across this beautiful wilderness of desolation and difficulty and got him to the banks of the Jordan. And then he said, now go, it's yours. And the Bible says they sent these spies into the land, and the spies came back. And the spies said, it's everything we said that God said it was. It's all that we thought was going to be available. But there are huge obstacles to us in this land. And there are giants in this land, and we're like grasshoppers. And the walls of these cities are thicker than we can imagine. And as magnificent it is, as beautiful it is, as fruitful as it is, as glorious as it is, as full of milk and honey as it is, it's not for us. We'll never be able to obtain this land. Everyone said that except two men, Joshua and Caleb. The Bible tells us something about Joshua and Caleb. It tells us that they were of a different spirit. And because they were of a different spirit, they said, we are well able to take this land. God has given us this land. The battle is the Lord's, it's not ours. We can overcome these devils. We can overcome these problems. We can overcome these walls. God can break down these walls if he wants to. We can win this victory. We can win this battle. We can go. We can accomplish it. But the other spies, the Bible says, gave a bad report of the land. And because they gave a bad report of the land, the people's hearts fell. They became sorrowful and discouraged and began to weep. And they said, what was the point of us ever even leaving Egypt? What was the point? At least in Egypt, we had milk and we had leeks and we had onions and we had a place to live. And now we're out here in this God-forsaken desert. We come up to the banks of the Jordan, the very promises that God gave us. And as a result, they said, we can't go into this land. And they began to weep. So we might as well just go back to where we came from. God just brought us out in this wilderness for us to die here. At least in Egypt, we had some stability. You see, what had happened is that all of Israel had come out, but not all of Israel was ready to go in. But here's what you need to know. There were two men who were ready to go in, but here's the problem. These two men were ready to go in. They had no problem with unbelief, and they had no problem with disobedience. They were full of faith and full of confidence in the Lord and full of what God was ready to do. They were full of confidence. They were ready to obey God. They were ready to go with all of their strength, all of their might, all their power, all of their resource. They were ready. They were in. They were saying, let's go. God is well able to deliver this into our hands. But I want to tell you something about Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb did not go into the promised land that day. And the reason why they didn't go into the promised land, that they had nothing to do with their disobedience. And it had nothing to do with their unbelief. Had nothing to do with their disobedience, and it had nothing to do with their unbelief. It had to do with the fact that their lives were attached to the lives of other people who were walking in unbelief and in disobedience. And because their lives were attached to the lives of other people who were walking in unbelief and disobedience, they were forced to go back into a wilderness they were ready to leave. They were forced to go back and spend the night in a desolate desert when they were ready to inherit the promises of God. They were forced to go back and to go around in circles and circles and circles and circles and circles and circles and circles because not of their unbelief and not because of their disobedience, but because of the unbelief and the disobedience of others. You know what you need to know is something that's really sacred to God. Is that every single person that's under the sound of my voice, every single one of you have a will of your own. And God gave it to you and he won't take it away from you. It's what makes you different than a robot. But unfortunately, you have a will of your own and the person sitting next to you has a will of their own. And because you're on planet Earth and because you love them or you care about them or you're engaged in them or you're connected to them, it's not only about your obedience and your faith, but sometimes the obedience or the disobedience, the faith or the unbelief of others will influence and affect you. Not because of your unbelief or because of your lack of faith, but because of theirs. And as a result, here came a situation in which Joshua and Caleb, because they didn't beam into the earth from outside and beam out, they were connected to the human race, and the human race makes decisions, and the human race makes plans and purposes, and the human race does things, sometimes in obedience to the Lord and sometimes in disobedience, sometimes out of faith and sometimes out of unbelief. And there are people that you're in this room right now, you've got a loved one, or you've got a situation, or you've got a circumstance, or you've got a set of things around you where there's been unbelief in the life of somebody else. There's been disobedience in the life of someone else, and it's affecting you. How many of you have ever disobeyed God? Raise your hand. Let me just see if there's any hands not raised. Raise your hand if you've ever disobeyed God. Now let me ask you a second question. Do you think your disobedience ever affected anybody other than you? Do you think there were people that loved you, cared about you, were engaged with you, were following you, were somehow connected to you, that your disobedience or your unbelief might have affected them in a negative way? Well, let me tell you something. Same thing true with you. The promised land is here. You're ready to go. You're geared up. You're engaged, your faith is high, your confidence in God is full, you're geared up, you got all your armor, you're ready to cross the Jordan. Let's go, let's go, let's go. All of a sudden you turn around and you look and nobody's ready to go with you. And before you know it, you're looking longingly into promises that you're having to walk away from because of other people's unbelief and other people's disobedience, not your own. And the result is that you get discouraged. You're in that place. If you're not careful, you can look around and say, what was the point? Before long, you start to hear the voices of everybody else, their unbelief, the voice of their disobedience. And you start to think, what was the point? Come to think of it, why did we leave Egypt? Why did we come? If we're not going in there, are we just going to live here in this wilderness the rest of our life? And you get to that place where if you're not careful, you start to let your heart grow low and you start to let your perspective be focused on what's around you and you start to let the promises of God become distant in your mind and you start to think maybe we were wrong to leave Egypt. But you see, Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit and they didn't do that. Joshua and Caleb knew that God had given them this land. Joshua and Caleb knew that this land belonged to them. Joshua and Caleb knew the promises of God were yea and amen. Joshua and Caleb knew God was not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind, that he wouldn't break his covenant with David nor alter the thing that had gone out of his mouth. He knew that God was true to his word. But unfortunately, at that time, their lives were linked to the disobedience and to the unbelief of others. And so they had to spend some nights in the wilderness, spend some nights in the wilderness, spend some nights in the wilderness, spend some nights in the wilderness. Not because of their unbelief, not because of their disobedience, because their life was connected to the life of other people. Let me tell you something. On this planet, you and I are connected to one another. Yeah. And there's going to be seasons, there's going to be times where you're ready to go from here to here in a straight line, right into the very promises of God. But along the way, when you leave here, something's going to happen because of somebody or some situation, and you're going to find yourself having to go over here. And then you're going to say, now I'm heading this way, and something's going to happen, and you're going to have to go back this direction. And something else is going to happen, and you're going to start over here, and something else is going to happen, and you're going to move over here. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with your disobedience and nothing whatsoever, in many occasions, to do with your unbelief. It has to do with decisions, choices that other people are making, not decision choices that you're making. Not because of your unbelief, but because of the unbelief of others. And by the way, let me say something about faith, and let me say something about trust, and let me say something about obedience. Faith, trust, and obedience are rarer than you think. There's a lot of people ready to walk in unbelief. A lot of people ready to walk in doubt. A lot of people ready to walk in fear. A lot of people ready to walk in disobedience. A lot of people ready to adjust the Word of God to fit their choices rather than adjust their choices to fit the Word of God. And as a result, if you care about people, if you love them, if you're engaged in common courses with them, when they stop, you sometimes have to stop too. When they disengage with the Lord, sometimes it's going to affect your life. And sometimes your path is going to be averted. Your path is going to be changed. Your path is sometimes going to go exactly the opposite direction of where God told you to go. Not because of your unbelief and not because of your disobedience, but because of the unbelief and the disobedience of others. Now, here's the thing. What do you do in a situation like that? Here's point A. There's point B. I'm moving quickly in the direction of where God wants me to go. All of a sudden, boom, I got to go over here because of somebody else's. Oh, now I got to go back over this way. Now I'm back over here. I'm heading the opposite direction. What's going on? Where's the promises of God in my life? When you've gone through life long enough, I'm going to guarantee, and I'm talking to a crowd that understands what I'm saying. When you've gone through life long enough, there's a bunch of detours that have happened in your life. And you didn't plan them or want them. But they've happened. And they've happened because of people you love, people you're engaged with, people you're in partnership with. Could be family. Could be your father, could be your mother, could be your sister, could be your brother, could be your neighbor, could be your ministry partner. Somebody stopped believing God, or somebody walked in disobedience, and where you were just about to step over, all of a sudden you got to step back. And you're spending nights in the wilderness that aren't the result of choices you made. I want to suggest something to you. I would guess that for many of you in this room right now, if I were to really ask you to sit down and tell me everything that's bothering you right now in your life, everything that's causing you some heartache, everything that's got some pain going on in your life, everything that's causing you to not be at that place of perfect peace and joy that you'd like to be, I would guess a good portion of it doesn't have to do with your unbelief, and it doesn't have to do with your disobedience. It has to do with the unbelief or disobedience of other people. That's exactly what had happened to Joshua and Caleb. And though they were ready to go, though they were full of faith, though they were ready to obey God, though their hearts were of a different spirit, though they could see the things of the Spirit the way God saw them, and they knew exactly how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to make those things come to pass, because their lives were inextricably linked to the commonwealth of Israel, when Israel decided not to go, Joshua and Caleb were forced back into a wilderness that they didn't want to live in. And there they lived. They lived there for 1 year, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 35 years, 38 years. Every night they went to bed in the wilderness, not because they wanted to be there, and not because they'd chosen to be there, and not because they didn't believe God, and not because they'd disobeyed, but because of the decisions and choices other people had made. And finally, one day, the last man who had left Egypt, who was 20 years of age and older, the last man died in the wilderness. And a new generation came along. And suddenly, a new day came. You see, Joshua and Caleb, they had continued to stay strong. They continued to believe in faith. They continued to believe God's word was true. They continued to believe the promised land belonged to them. They continued to believe that there was hope for them. They continued to believe through all of their life and all of their experience in the wilderness of other people's decisions and choices. They continued to stay true to the Lord, 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 stay true to the Lord. It's the same thing that Daniel did when he was living in Babylon. He stayed true to the Lord. He wasn't in Babylon because of his own choices or decisions. He was in Babylon because of the choices and decisions of generations that had come before him. But he stayed true to the Lord. 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 It's the same thing that happened to Joseph when Joseph was told the promises of God. Here's what they are. Here's what they're going to be. And all of a sudden, instead of the promises coming to true, his brothers treat him like he's no brother. They betray him and throw him into a pit to die. One brother pulls him out and sells him into slavery. He gets taken to Egypt, and there in Egypt, he gets falsely accused of rape. He ends up in prison, and for 14 years, he's a forgotten man. And he's not there because of his own disobedience, and he's not there because of his own unbelief. He's there because of the disobedience and the unbelief of others. But he stayed true to the Lord. 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 He didn't let the disobedience of others, and he didn't let the unbelief of others, he didn't let that change his commitment to the promises of God. He stayed true. He stayed true. He stayed true. He stayed true. And the great temptation of the day for those who have walked through many different pathways and detours as a result of other people's disobedience and other people's unbelief is that before long you stop believing and you start disobeying too. And you let your heart become downtrodden and you lose sight of what God intended to do. But I want to say to you, my brother, my sister, don't do it. Stay true to the Lord. You stay true to the Lord. You stay true to the Lord. You stay true to the Lord. It doesn't matter if the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. You stay true to the Lord. It doesn't matter if every place you step, somebody puts a hurdle in your way and you have to go around it. You stay true to the Lord. You stay true to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're heading the opposite direction of the promises. You stay true to the Lord. You stay true to the Lord. You stay true to the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord will keep his promises to you. Regardless of other people's unbelief and regardless of other people's disobedience. Notice what it says over in the book of Joshua. Let's look over Joshua real quickly. Are you learning anything?
Amen.
Okay, listen, look what it says over in Joshua. This is after the death of Moses, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. In every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You be strong. You be of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate it in day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. You see, Joshua believed God 40 years earlier. He was ready to obey God. He was ready to go with Caleb and with all of Israel into inhabit the promises of God. But because of the unbelief and disobedience of others, he was turned back into a wilderness that was not a wilderness of his own choosing. It was a wilderness that was the result of other people's disobedience. Listen to me. I wish you could just live your life without connecting to any other human being. Wouldn't that be a nice deal? Amen. You know, I think about it like rock climbing. I used to do quite a bit of alpining and rock climbing and out in the Tetons. There's the Grand Tetons, and the tallest peak is called the Grand, and I've climbed it a few times. And you climb it with ropes. And, you know, I could probably get up there and get down there pretty quick, but unfortunately, you got other people roped in with you. Amen? And sometimes you got to slow down for them to catch up. Because your life is tied to people. Some of you, your life is tied to a daughter, a sister, a brother. And you're spending some nights in some pretty painful places, but it has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with you. Well, welcome to Joshua and Caleb's life. Welcome to the life of Joseph. Had nothing to do with him. Welcome to the life of Daniel. He spent a night in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego spent some time in a fiery furnace. It wasn't because of their disobedience. And it wasn't because of their unbelief. So I'm talking to you because I care about where you are right now, because I want you to get rid of this perplexity. I want to eradicate the perplexity in your mind, because I want this, even if it's a sheet between you and God, I want it gone. So that you'll be back in the arms of your Father again. You'll know he loves you. He hasn't forgotten you, and he has not abandoned you. You are not where you are dealing with what you're dealing with, many of you, because of your disobedience and unbelief. Now, I've been some places because of my own unbelief and my own disobedience, and we all know about those. That's not what I'm talking about today. Think about it with me for a moment. Think about the pain, the most recent pain in your life, the most recent struggle you're having, the one that keeps you up at night. Think about the one that seems like it just doesn't go away. And it keeps you from being able to really enjoy life to the fullest, really experience all that you want to be able to experience. Was it because of your disobedience and because of your unbelief? Or is it because somebody in your life has disobeyed and stopped believing God? Okay? Your life is connected to theirs. That's why it's costing you some nights in the wilderness. But hold on. Stay true. Because God's not finished yet. God is not finished yet. It doesn't matter if from point A to point B you go direct route or whether you go a lot of different directions, which you will, because of the disobedience and unbelief of others. You just keep walking. Just keep walking and keep staying true and keep. And many times, as a matter of fact, the Lord told me there have been, and I'm always hesitant to say this, but I feel like the Lord told me that there's been three times that this church in its history has come on the verge of a mighty outpouring and revival of the Holy Spirit. Three times. I saw it. There's been some like this, but there were three times that it was building to a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Three times. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't these two that didn't go in and weren't ready. I don't know who it was, and I don't care. I'm not trying to blame or talk to anybody. But I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, there's a fourth time coming. There's a fourth time coming. Amen? There's a fourth time coming for this church. Amen? Now, these two are going to go in. I don't care if you go with them or not. They're going to go in somehow. They're going in there. Amen? So listen to me. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's betrayal. Sometimes it's disobedience. Sometimes it's misunderstanding. Sometimes it's confusion. Sometimes the way the enemy scatters the sheep is the way he's always done it, by smiting the shepherd. He does something to smite the shepherd so he can scatter the sheep. But it's not about the shepherd. It's about getting the sheep scattered, because if they get gathered too much for too long, there is a power that begins to be released. So he comes and brings division and confusion and strife. And oftentimes it's right before you're about to step over. And all of a sudden you're going this way again. We're back in the wilderness. What happened? Well, it wasn't because of the unbelief or the disobedience of Joshua and Caleb. It was because of the unbelief and disobedience of others. Now, here's the thing. You hang in there long enough, you stay true long enough, you eventually become like Caleb. Look what it says in Caleb, in Joshua chapter 14. Look real quickly with me there. Joshua chapter 14, look at verse 6. It says, "And the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal." Joshua 14, verse 6. "The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Anybody 85 years old here? Raise your hand if you're 85 years old. Raise your hand if you're 85 years old. I'm going to say something to you by the Spirit. You do not give up on the promises of God in your life. Don't give up on the promises of God in your life. He says, here I am 85 years old. And he says, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, both going in and for coming out. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how that's where the giants were. The cities were great. They were fortified. It may be the Lord will be with me and I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." He said, you remember when we were walking into the promises of God, they said, yeah, it's a beautiful land. It's full of milk and honey. It's got all kinds of things that God said. But, you know, there's giants there. 85 years old, 45 years, spending the night after night after night after year after year after year in a wilderness he did not choose. God said, I'm going to keep my promise to you now, Caleb. And I've kept you just as strong as you were on the day I told you the promise. And I've kept your eye just as quick. And I've given you strength for war. And Caleb walked across. He said, give me the mountain men, those big old guys. Let's see what God's going to do with them now. And I'll teach this next generation. I will teach this next generation. I will teach this next generation. You do not give up on the promises of God in your life, because God will bring it to pass. Doesn't matter who disobeys. It doesn't matter who doesn't believe. If you stay true, God will bring you into the land He promised He would give you. He will bring you into that land. You know, Joseph saw so many promises in his life come to pass. But it took years and years and years and years of detour after detour after detour after detour after detour, that not one of them did he choose. And not one of them was the result of something in his character. They were the result of other people's choices and decisions. But you know what? Joseph didn't see every promise. Because there was the promise, Joseph was told that there was going to be a land of promise and that the people of God were going to go in there. And when Joseph died, he hadn't seen that land of promise. When Joseph died, his people had not yet made it into the land of promise. But you know what Joseph did? He told the people, listen, after I'm dead and gone, when the day comes that God fulfills his promise to you, you dig up my bones and you carry them in there and bury me in that land of promise, because God will not fail in his word. He will not fail in his word. He will not fail in his word. He will do everything he told me he would do. Even Moses got into the land of promise on the Mount of Transfiguration when he met Jesus there. Amen. He made it in. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I long ago gave up wanting to impress you with my preaching skill. What I want to do is I want to get you back in the Father's arms. And there are some of you, your mind has been really perplexed. I've been believing God, obeying God, and yet here I am. I woke up, I'm in the wilderness still. Why? Listen to me. As a human being on planet Earth, your life is going to be affected by the disobedience and the unbelief of others. It is going to be. Even your culture, even your generation can be affected by the unbelief and disobedience of others. You stay true. Stay true. Stay true. You keep walking. You keep walking and you keep walking and you keep walking and you keep walking and you keep walking. I've been here before. I'm just going to keep walking. It's like me going around these roundabouts trying to get to the church. I'm just going to keep going. I thought we were going this way, but now we're going that way. And now here we are, here we are, here we are, here we are. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Why'd they do that? The promises are right there. What are they doing? We're so close. Saints, don't get this close again and let it go by. Gather up together and say, we're getting behind Joshua and Caleb and we're going into the promises of God. Because at 85 years of old, you can see things happen. Giants fall. Giants fall in your life that you didn't think would ever happen. My heart is full of compassion for so many of you. The Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap a harvest if you faint not. Joshua and Caleb, they didn't faint. And you stay true to God, I'm going to tell you, you'll stay strong into your old age and strong into older age and strong into ancient age if you stay true to the Lord. And you will either see the fulfillment of every promise God ever gave you, or in the end, they'll dig up your bones and they'll bury you in the promises of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. There's one more thing I got to say. I want you to just turn real quickly at the end of Joshua. Joshua's getting ready to leave the scene. I want you to see this, Joshua. And I'm going to bring a little altar call here. Look at Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. Joshua's getting ready to leave. They've now gone in. Joshua and Caleb, they've gone into the land of promise. They've defeated the enemies. They've driven out the devils out of the land. They've possessed the cities. They've eaten fruit from the trees that they didn't plant. They've lived in the houses that they didn't build. And now here in the end, Joshua, the one who had a different spirit, in chapter 21, verse 45, he says this. He says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. And notice what it says over in Joshua chapter 23. And here, Joshua himself is speaking to the people of God. And I want to speak this to you. I've walked with the Lord a long time. I've been on a lot of detours. There have been some of my own making. But I'll be honest with you, there's been a lot that I didn't choose. But I'm going to keep walking. Because at the end of my journey, I'm going to end up in the promises of God. And every single thing God said is going to come to pass. Look what he says in Joshua 23 and look at verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of the whole earth, Joshua is saying. And he says to the people of God, and I want to say this to you. He says, and you know in all of your hearts and all of your souls that not one thing has failed of all of the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Joshua and Caleb didn't let the disobedience and the unbelief of other people keep them from walking forward every day in faith and confidence that what God had promised would come to pass. If you're perplexed today and your heart's struggling and you're wondering, Lord, why am I in the wilderness when my heart has been faithful and when my steps have been obedient? Look around. You might discover it's got nothing to do with you. Keep walking. Keep walking. There's a promised land at the end of your path. You're 85. Well, that's when he entered the promises. And then he started warring. So I saw a lot of people in here weren't 85. Means you're still youngsters in God's mind. Amen. I want you to stand together, put your stuff down. And I feel like the Holy Spirit's just telling me to say, if you are in this place today and you just, this word has spoken to you in a way that might represent a need for you to respond, to say, Lord, forgive me for being perplexed. Thank you for opening my mind and my understanding to realize that not everything that's happened in my life is because of choices or decisions I made, but because I'm part of a human race that has a lot of disobedience and unbelief in it. For me, Lord, and my house. For me and my house. And sometimes, Lord, it just has to be for me. I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to keep trusting my God. I'm going to keep walking in confidence that his word is true. I'm going to die knowing that my God is true to his word in my life. Even if I don't see every fulfillment of every promise in this world, I know that in the end, that my God will be true. If you're in this place and you just need to make a reconnection of your heart in some way to the Lord in light of these words, just come forward here. I want to pray over you. I just feel the Holy Spirit leading me to just make this an offering of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think back of his goodness to you. Think about how faithful he's been, even when others were faithless. Because he won't deny himself. Even when you've been faithless, he won't deny himself. His character doesn't change. His promises don't change. And Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we're just feeling the sense of a new awakening in our hearts of confidence in who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the examples of Joseph. Thank you for the examples, Father God, of Joshua. Thank you for the example of Caleb, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that these men of God, they had many detours. They spent many nights in places that they hadn't chosen and that weren't the result of their own actions. But, Lord, you brought them out and you brought them in just like you said you would. And Father God, there's going to be people here that I sense in the Spirit of the Lord in the next year. You're going to start to see some things happening that you've been waiting for decades to come to pass. And this next year, the Lord's wanting to start to release something in some of your lives and begin to show you that things are about to change. Things are about to change. Things are about to change. The last unbelieving thing is about to perish so that a new thing can begin. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you right now to awaken our hearts. Father, forgive us when we, in our unbelief and in our disobedience, may have gotten in the way of things that you were intending to do, and it may have affected the lives of others. But Father, we also, We also recognize that others' unbelief and others' disobedience has gotten in the way of the timing, Lord. Others can slow it down, but they can't keep it from happening. They can get in the way. They can put up a hurdle. They can force us on a detour, but we're landing in the promised land. We're going to Canaan. We're going to Canaan, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We glorify you. We magnify and worship your holy name. You're worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Put your hand on your heart right now. Father, I just pray for my brother, my sister. Father, in Jesus' name, I know how the detours of other people's actions can create such a feeling of being weighed down. Lord, I know how many nights the temptation for Joshua and Caleb would have been to think, I'm going to die here in this stinking wilderness because of what other people have done. But Father, we're not going to walk that walk anymore. We're not going to talk that talk anymore. This word is not going to depart from our mouth. We're not going to turn to the left or to the right, but we're going to keep walking, keep walking, keep walking in the promises of God. Keep walking in the faith of our Father. Keep walking in the knowledge of the goodness of our loving Father. And we're going to see, Lord, whatever the others do, you've got a path around them. You've got a path through them. You've got a path under them to get me into the promises that you gave me. And my heart and my spirit are full of strength and joy. And Lord, forgive me if I've let even a sheet come between you and I when the veil has been rent in two. I'm running back into the arms of my Father and saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. Yes, Lord, I know you'll be true. Yes, Lord, I know you'll accomplish what you said you'll accomplish. Yes, Lord, I'm going to keep walking with you into the promises of God. Hallelujah. Now give him praise and magnify his holy name. We exalt you, our God. We magnify and worship you. You're worthy of all honor and praise, all glory. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, there's a victory in our spirit today. There's a victory in our spirit today, Lord, because we are living in the promises by faith until our feet touch the land again. Everything you said you'll do, you'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the word. It will not return void. Say that with me. Thank you, Lord, for the word. It will not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. It will bear fruit. I declare it, and I agree with you, God. And I'll stay true by your grace. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to ask altar workers to continue to be here at the front. There might be other prayer needs. Whatever your need is.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.